Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Saturday Burnt Toast and Coffee Show with apologist William Hemsworth on the Four Persons Network. William is passionate about teaching the faith. He is a convert that attended a Baptist seminary. He is a father and a catechist that will encourage you to live the faith, evangelize, and defend it. To call into the show, the number is 515-602-9655. Once again, the phone number to call into the show is 515-602-9655.
Hey, and good morning, everybody. William Hemsworth here, and welcome to the Burnt Toast and Coffee Show here on the Four Persons Network. It is so great to be with you all again on another beautiful Saturday morning. It's one of those rare Saturday mornings here in Tucson where it's actually raining, so it feels like fall. It isn't like 90 degrees. So it's great. It's like 50 degrees out. It's raining. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's a nice change. Have a great show for you today. Let me introduce our guest today. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's a best-selling author and award-winning blogger. He's a master storyteller. He's an inspirational speaker. He's an award-winning blogger. He's named one of the top 100 Catholic blogs and was a finalist in the 15th Annual International Web Blog Awards, and he's a frequent guest on Catholic radio. We have our guest, Tony Agnese, here, and today we're going to discuss his great new book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Joyful Holiday Season. Tony, how are you doing today?
William, it's great to hear your voice again. Great to be back with you. It's been too long. I really, welcome the opportunity to talk with you today.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. When I saw that you were releasing another book, and I congratulated you on it, and right again, we talked about doing this show together. It's awesome. It's been a couple of years since we've talked, so it's just great catching up. So besides the book, what have you been up to lately? How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, Thanksgiving was interesting. I'm here at my son and daughter-in-law's house in Nashville, Tennessee. We had Thanksgiving here. 2 days before Thanksgiving, she broke her ankle, and my daughter-in-law broke her ankle in two places.
Oh, no.
Was at the emergency room and has surgery scheduled for Monday. So it all came together. It was a team effort. Everybody came together to get food and things prepared, and we had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving meal. You know, yesterday, I don't know if you're familiar with the holiday secular Advent.
But, no, I read about it. I read about it in your book, so I was going to ask you about that later.
Yeah, you know, secular Advent, it only has been around about 10 years, you know. It started out one holiday, Black Friday, but then it began on Gray Thursday because Thanksgiving can't last a whole day. It has to end as soon as your meal is over so everybody can get to the mall. And then you've got, you know, we've got the Small Business Saturday and the Cyber Monday and the Giving Tuesday. And it all ends on Return All of Your Unwanted Gifts Week. So there's secular Advent. I was yesterday, my wife and I left the hotel. We had a little time to kill. So we went over to the mall, and, you know, it's the Black Friday at the mall. And it reminded me, William, of a story of a guy who on Black Friday, he goes to the shopping mall. He drops off his wife and he's trying to park his car, and he can't find a parking space at all. He's been driving up and down rows, up and down rows for about 15 minutes and still can't find a parking space. Finally, he bargains with God. He said, God, if you help me find a parking space, I'm going to donate $500 to feed needy families this Christmas. And no sooner, William, than he says that, but a parking space opens up, the first parking space closest to Macy's in the row. And as he pulls into the row, he pauses for a minute, he looks to heaven and says, never mind, God, I found one. That's how most people are.
Yeah, that really sums it up. And I've been really happy to see the trend and of retailers starting to be closed again on Thanksgiving. You know, I'm really glad to see that trend. My nephew, he worked in retail for many years at Best Buy. And remember, like you said, after he eats, he would have to go to work. But now he doesn't have to do it. Now he doesn't have to do all that. So I think that's a good trend. But
and we also bargain with God when we are at our wit's end, but then we don't recognize when God comes to our aid or God gives us direction. You know, it's something we're guilty of. You know, this secular Advent asks us to speed up and spend money now. Christian Advent says slow down and prepare for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Secular Advent asks us to spend money we don't have on things we don't need under the pretense it was on sale. And Christian Advent asks us to be thankful for what we have and maybe give to those who have little. Secular Amen. Advent says we have a right to fight for the last big screen TV at Walmart, where Christian Advent asks us to pray for peace. You know, I think I'm going to slow down this Advent. I'm going to use Advent's my favorite season. As a matter of fact, I find it, Lent is wonderful, but I find Advent a wonderful time to connect and reconnect with our faith and with our Savior as we prepare for, you know, the coming of Christmas on Christmas morning.
I couldn't agree more. One of the things I teach my RCIC kids every Advent is, like you said, slow down. Remember all the things, all the good things to be thankful for. Remember there's always someone who would love to have what you have. Remember what's really important, your friends, your family. Remember Jesus. Jesus came for you. He came to die for you. And, you know, all that great stuff that we talk about. We talk about the significance of the nativity scene, all that. And the kids really seem to enjoy just slowing down, getting out of the hustle and bustle, because kids are taught nowadays too. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's go to practice. Let's go to school. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go here. Okay, time for bed now. Let's get up and do it again. Like you said, the necessity of slowing down, Tony. You talked that in your book. Are there any tips that you can give us for slowing down and enjoying
Advent? It's something that I think involves increasing our prayer time, you know, and I especially like to pray for those who'll be sad during the holiday. You know, Christmas is the happiest time of the year. It's also the saddest time for some people. And, you know, they've lost a family member. Gosh, COVID has taken so many people. And in many of those instances, the amount of time they could spend on calling hours and funerals was limited, the number of people and so forth. And so there are a lot of people out there during the holiday season who are full of the holiday spirit, but yet there are some others that find it to be a very difficult time. So we have to slow down. We have to find some things maybe in our church or community that we can attend. I love volunteering, you know, at a homeless shelter, soup kitchen, things like that that we can do. One of the things I like to do during the holiday, William, is I like to call old friends. I like to just get on the phone and call old friends. And you know what happens a lot of the times when you do? They go, man, I was just thinking of you, you know, and you end up having a wonderful conversation. And it helps overcome some of the social isolation that people feel sometimes during the holidays, especially when they've lost a loved one or lost a spouse. So slowing down. You know, I think attending Mass more frequently than every Sunday, you know, there's some opportunities to attend daily Mass with help, increasing our prayer time. and then help somebody in need. It can be as simple as a family member or a friend, or the Giving Tree. My wife is a big fan of the Giving Tree, where, you know, she could pull some names off the tree and buy gifts for people she doesn't know. And it just kind of gives you that joyful holiday spirit that that comes from from helping others, you know.
Right. Now, in your book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Joyful Holiday Season, and you mentioned the Giving Tree, and in your book, you mentioned a story about the Giving Tree, about how you talked to your wife and how you said, let's get some names while there's still a lot on there. And your wife said, let's wait. And
yeah, she likes to wait. You know, William, there's always the last person picked on the tree, even though we try to think. We try to think that we're not showing favoritism to certain, but you know, they take the younger kids, boys and girls, and then, you know, other adults. And there's some people left on the tree at the end who are the last cards to be picked from the Giving Tree. So my wife likes to wait until the end, and she likes to buy for those people that everyone else has kind of skipped over, forgotten, or just couldn't relate to what they were going to purchase.
Yeah, and I thought that was a very profound lesson that your wife gave there, though, about just reaching out to those who, you know, disadvantaged, marginalized, like you said, those are who are the last to be picked. I thought that was a very profound thing, and I think a good lesson that we could take is, like you said in your book and like you said just now, you know, people, like I said, we have these preferences built into ourselves. We don't realize them sometimes. But I just thought that was a great lesson, and you mentioned it, and I had to bring it up. But the storyteller series. Go ahead, Tony.
There's a kind of I call it a sin of partiality. You know, I remember going to a very popular restaurant, and a big basketball star walks in with his entourage, and man, they just tripped all over themselves to wait on him and to take care of him and so forth. And the owner comes over and says, your meal is free. You know, we're happy to have you here, and cocked them the meal. At the same time, there was a family out by the dumpster out back begging for whatever might be left over, some bread or some things that people hadn't eaten. And the owner of the restaurant shooed them away, said, get away or, you know, I'm going to call the police to have you eliminated. The sin of partiality. Those that can afford the meal are given a freebie. And those that can't afford are treated as if they're breaking the law asking for food. Isn't that how it works sometimes? And as Christians, as Catholics, we have to be aware of that fact. We have to treat people, no matter where they are in their life, the same and with dignity and respect.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Storyteller's Guide to a Joyful Holiday Season. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this is number 4 in the Storyteller series that you have. You know, there's Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, Volume 1, Volume 2. How did this book come about for the Joyful Holiday Season?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It came about as a talk. You know, I speak a lot during the Lenten season, William. I'm sure you do, too. And I do a lot of talks during Lent. And a very few during Advent. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write an Advent talk, and I'm going to offer it up at any churches or organizations, men's groups, so forth, that are looking for an Advent talk you know, I will put it together. So I worked on this talk for quite a bit of time and pulled things together. A lot of it I pulled together from blog posts from 2010 and 11 and just tried to bring together stories about Thanksgiving, about Advent, about Christmas, and about New Year's. And as I did, I said, you know, it would be nice to just pull these together in a little book that I could have available when I speak. So that's how it started, and now it's kind of flip-flop. Now the book is out, and I'm just now starting to speak on it here over the course of Advent as we begin here, I think on the 1st of December with Advent. You know, it reminded me of a story of a deacon friend of mine also teaches in the elementary school, the religion class, and he goes into a second grade class one day, and he goes, we have a new season just about to start here in the liturgical calendar. Does anybody know what it is? And there were 30 faces staring back at him with a confused look, and he goes, well, I'll give you a hint. It starts with an A. And they look around. Everybody looks around. Nobody has an answer. He said, all right, I'll give you the second letter. It's a D. And little Johnny in the back of the room raises his hand. He's waving his hand, and he's, Johnny? And he goes, Advil. Advil. And he goes, well, no, it's Advent. But I thought about that, you know. Sometimes, I wonder how many of our listeners are having an Advil Advent rather than an Advent. You know, Advil is where that kind of an Advent is just the antithesis of what we were talking about, William. It's where you're rushing around and trying to get things done and buying gifts and, you know, just going crazy, trying to find that iPhone 15 or that new PlayStation,
right,
and fighting for that big screen TV at Walmart, as opposed to an Advent season where we slow down and we contemplate the death or the life, the birth, I should say, of our Savior,
right,
Jesus Christ, as we track his birth and his life, death, and resurrection through the course of the liturgical year. That's the kind of Advent that I want to have, you know, the kind of Advent that says, let me slow down and enjoy life, enjoy the things you mentioned, enjoy my faith, enjoy my family, enjoy my friends, and, of course, enjoy some football.
Right. And like you said, big game today. Not Washington. Oh, goodness. Michigan and Ohio State. I just sinned, Tony. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm wearing my Ohio State. I'm wearing my Ohio State gear as we speak and am excited about the game. Number two versus number three, and the winner probably will go off to play Georgia for the national championship.
It's going to be a good one for sure.
It's going to be a good game.
Now, in your book, you have this story. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
I'd like to talk back, we just finished Thanksgiving, and there are some stories of Thanksgiving in the book and so forth, but there's one that kind of is appropriate during Advent as well. And I call it the Thanksgiving Rosary. And you know, William, It is interesting. I had a friend of mine, Pat, who he said, you know, I was praying the rosary and I decided to make it a Thanksgiving rosary. And on every bead, I'm going to thank God for something. Thank you, God, for on every bead. And he says, thank you, God, for a loving wife. Thank you for a beautiful family. Thank you for, you know, the job I have. And so, and he went through the entire rosary, and I said, you know, do you ever run out of thank yous on the beads? And he said, never, never. And so I did it one Thanksgiving, and it has now become part of what I do from time to time, just as I pray the rosary. I'm going to add a thank you on every bead, and quite honestly, never run out of things to thank God for. And that attitude of gratitude, that attitude of thanksgiving, when you finish that rosary, there's just a certain feeling that comes over you that I've been blessed, that life is good, that I thank God for everything that he's given me. And it's such a wonderful feeling during the Advent season to have that sense of gratitude and that sense of thanksgiving.
Yeah, because like you said, there's always something to be thankful for. Now, Tony, I want to play devil's advocate here for a moment. I mean, there's going to be someone out there that says, there's nothing in my life that I could be thankful for. What would you say to someone who's maybe has those thoughts?
Wow. Interestingly enough, I had a comment on I do a meme every day year round on a Facebook group called Daily Grace. If anybody would like to join Daily Grace, every morning between 6 and 7 a.m., I post something, and I posted one. It's Thanksgiving Day. What are you thanking God for today? And one person posted there was very little to be thankful for. And I said, I just wonder, you know, you're alive. You have the ability to serve others. You know, you have the ability to do things that you don't realize. There are people who feel that way, and very difficult to get through that. There are many, many things to be grateful for. You know, in my second book, A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, we talk about the fact that there is a difference between joy and happiness. You know, happiness is fleeting. I'll be happy if the Buckeyes beat Michigan today. I'll be sad if they lose. that's a fleeting thing, happiness and sadness. But joy is something that comes from our Lord. Joy is something that comes from above. And one of the easiest ways to get joy is to serve others. And sometimes when you're hurting and things aren't going well, helping someone else will bring you out of your doldrums, will help you become more aware of the things that you can be grateful for when you work with others, when you try to help others. That's that serving others, whether it be something simple as making a phone call to a friend, or it could be work at the soup kitchen or go serve a Thanksgiving meal at the local church that does that. There's a number of ways you can do that, and all of them are ways to realize in your own life that we have things to be thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Now, in your book, you cover Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you also go into the new year. One of the stories in your book that really stuck out to me has the subtitle of Your Presence is Your Present. Can you give us a little background on that story for our listeners?
I have been doing jail ministry for 19 years, and I just gave it up. I'm turning 75 in February, and I just gave up the jail ministry that I've done so for so many years. And yeah, there was a time we were having our Christmas type mass. Very rarely did we ever get a priest into the jail to do a mass, but at Christmas time we always find a priest that can come in, that can say a mass near the Christmas holiday, here's some confessions and so forth. And this particular year, a Father Lee, he was just a on fire, humble little South Korean priest that came in. And his homily resonated with me when he said, your presence is your present. You know, as a kid, you look through catalogs and you start dreaming Santa Claus placing things under your tree. But as we get older, we realize that the real important things is my faith and my family and friends and being with people at time and sharing the stories from years past. You know, in the dedication in my book, I talk about, you know, as a kid, we either were at my mom's or my aunt's house every other year. And then as we grew older, that tradition moved to getting married. And so we'd go to my wife's parents at 1 o'clock and eat. And then we go to my parents at 4 or 5 o'clock and eat. And then that passed along to us. And this year, my daughter-in-law has taken over Thanksgiving, and we pass that along to another generation. And we begin to realize that it's just our presence that's the greatest present that we can give. You know, as you get older, there's very little that you want for, you know, what would you like for Christmas? And, you know, what can we get you for Christmas, Grandpa? And it's a very simple answer, your presence, just being together with family, friends, grandkids, and so forth. Really makes it wonderful for us.
And that's what it's all about, is getting together, loving each other, encouraging each other. And just, I know I have a large family. I've been blessed with 4 children. But when we're all together, my parents, my brothers and sisters, there's like 35 of us in the house. And it's kind of chaotic, but it's a lot of fun as well. You know, just the joy on everyone's face. Everyone's talking, laughing, having a good time. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Now,
one of go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Tony.
The last chapter in the book, I think maybe that's where you're going. Last chapter in the book's about New Year's. And, you know, New Year's to me, I have never been the partier type at New Year's. I figure that's amateur night. So I try to stay off the highways. A lot of times I would go to Midnight Adoration on New Year's and spend the midnight hour with our Lord in adoration. Other times it's just quiet family. Lately, my wife and I will have dinner about 6 o'clock and we're home before the chaotic things start to happen and spend the rest of the evening together. But one of the things that I like to do every year, and I've been doing it for years, and I like to think about And I prepare a list of things that I want to accomplish that year. I call it the list. And what I do is I keep it, you know, keep it in my wallet. And as I used to travel for my job, you know, you're sitting in a hotel room at night, I would pull out the list and I'd see, you know, how I was doing. And I divided that list into three sections. First, my health goals. And I know you've done a magnificent job here over the last amount of time, getting your weight down, getting a knee replacement, working out, spending time at the gym and so forth. Fantastic. And those types of health goals. Then the second is personal goals, you know, to be a better husband, father, to do some things a little bit differently to do that. And then finally, professional goals, accomplishments and so forth. And then my spiritual goals. And my spiritual goals might be to attend Mass more or read the Bible daily or find a great inspiring book, pray the Chapel of the Divine Mercy, which is one of my favorites, and so forth. And then I write these down. And then about halfway through the year, I review them and see how well I've done. Some years I do really well. Other years, not so much. So it's a way of dealing with that. And there's a chapter, a final chapter toward the end here at in the book called More or Less. And it's another thing I like to do instead of New Year's resolutions. I hate New Year's resolutions. Most people break them the second, you know, I'm going to go to the gym. They join a gym. They spend a lot of money. Yeah, and then they're gone. And that's why a gym can handle 100 people. They have 1,000 members because most of the 900 don't show up anymore after the first couple of weeks. But things that I'm going to do more and things that I'm going to do less. Let me give you a couple of examples. I want to complain less and express appreciation more. I want to gossip less and praise more. I want to procrastinate less and take action more. I want to say less, listen more. Here's a tough one for me, William. I want to eat less and exercise more. I want to get angry less and show kindness more. I want to judge less and accept more. You see what I do? And you can come up with them yourself. Everybody listening to this broadcast and sit down and say, in 2024, what do I want to do more? And what do I want to do less? And I'm sure you'll come up with a list that'll make your 2024 a more appealing, a more grateful, and a more thankful new year.
Great. And again, everyone, the book is A Storyteller's Guide to a Joyful Holiday Season. Tony, the book's been out a couple of weeks now. What has been the feedback that you've received, and where can our listeners check out the book?
Well, the feedback has been good. A lot of people, you know, the book is, as are all of my books, are short stories. Years ago, I met an author and I said, I can't write 40,000 words. He said, well, can you write 500 or 750? And I said, yeah. He said, well, just do that 50 times and you have a book. And so they're short stories between 500 and 750 words. They all have scripture tied to them. And then they all end with some questions to reflect on. So many of the people say the book is an easy read. It's a quick read. It's a small book, 5x8 format, 100 pages. You can read it quickly, but what I encourage people to do is if a particular story touches you, look at the questions at the end of the story and spend some time reflecting on those questions when you have some private time during the holidays. The book is available on Amazon.com. It's available on BarnesandNoble.com. It's out there. It's $7.99 if you've got Amazon Prime. It's $2.99 in the Kindle version. It's like I say, it's a small book that I know it's a busy time of the year, but you can carve out an hour or two and spend some time with the book, and then maybe some time later with reflecting on some of the questions asked at the end of the stories. It might be a blessing to a number of people this holiday season. And by the way, William, and I always forget to say this. I want to make sure I say it. All of the net proceeds, all of the profits of all of my books in the Storyteller series go to charity. I make absolutely no income from any of the book sales that I do. As a matter of fact, the more books I sell, the happier I get, because it means I can give more money to charity. And my wife and I can then give a lot more than we normally could have by virtue of the sales of the book. So when people buy my books, I want them to understand that not only are they buying a book, but the profit of that book, once we pay for printing and, you know, all of those things, is going to the charities that my wife and ministries that my wife and I support.
Great. And Tony, where can our listeners learn more about you and what you're doing?
You can go to my website. My website, TonyAgnesi.com, TonyAgnesi.com. And there's literally hundreds of stories and reflections and things there on the website. Also on Facebook, you can go to Tony Agnesi, a storyteller, and you can friend me up. And I have a wonderful Facebook group called Daily Grace, where I post some inspirational message or a little quote every single day, 365 days a year. It's called Daily Grace. Others are posting there as well. William, I invite you to post there as well on Daily Grace. And people love the fact that the first thing in the morning, they get a little shot. I'm on YouTube, Tony Agnesi. Lots of video there. A lot of video with you and I from a few years ago that you can still access at YouTube at Tony Agnesi.
Well, Tony, it's been a pleasure catching up with you. Congrats on the new book. Thanks for coming on the Burnt Toast and Coffee Show today.
I loved it, William. Anytime. I'd love to spend some time with you again. And you know what? If I kick into my podcast again after the first of the year when I retire, you'll be one of my first guests on my show.
Well, sounds good. And congratulations on your upcoming retirement. And check out the book, everyone. A Storyteller's Guide to a Joyful Holiday Season. And our guest has been author, speaker, Tony Agnesi. And Tony, God bless you. God bless your family. And best of luck to your God's grace with your family with the upcoming surgery on Monday.
Thank you. Thank you so much, William. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas and a joyous 2024.
All right, you too. All right, God bless everyone. We'll catch you next week on the Burnt Toast and Coffee Show.